everybody. Welcome to Creepy Club.
Hi.
Hi. We are a storytelling podcast, and we talk about all things creepy. Everything from Yetis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We talked about a Yeti in a prior episode, to true crime.
Government conspiracies.
Mm-hmm. Aliens. All sorts of things. If it's creepy, we'll talk about it. I'm Heidi.
I'm Rissa.
And we're real glad you're here. As always, this podcast comes with an Why? I can't ever say that word. Acronym. NSFW. Not safe for work warning. We say a lot of naughty words. So if you find that offensive, or you have people who maybe shouldn't learn some new vocabulary today, you might want to think about some headphones or waiting till later. Our discussion topic today is super spooky ghost who helps solve their own murders, as told by Rissa.
Mm-hmm. I love this one.
Mm-hmm. This is a really fun one. Anyway, we are super glad you're here, and we hope you'll enjoy this episode.
Just as a warning to our listeners, this is another Friday night episode, so you know it's going to be lit.
Where does rum come from?
Where does rum come from? Pirates?
I don't know. My Diet Pepsi has a pirate in it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My cranberry.
They just squeeze the shit out of a pirate and rum comes out.
Yeah. Yeah.
All
that's
right.
Exactly how it happens.
Did we do something else got made that way? Oh, gin.
Bear grease.
And bear grease.
Yeah.
I just assume that's how you extract everything, is just squeeze it.
My cranberry has potato in it.
Doesn't sound as delicious.
Vodka? Isn't vodka made from potatoes? Fuck. That'll be another creepy corrections, conclusions, and clarifications.
Do I look like a boozologist to you?
Speaking of corrections, conclusions, and clarifications, let's jump into that.
All right. So
we talked about career tests last time. This is, and just to peek behind the curtain a little bit, we recorded this episode 2 weeks ago instead of 1 week ago, so my memory of that episode is gone.
I had to think for a really long time today while I was out. Don't let me forget. Make a mental post-it note. I'm going to say this so I can also do the same. I was going to bring you a creepy present today.
Okay.
So we're going to come back to that. Okay, go. Tell me your story. Peek behind the curtain, because you were super busy with work.
Right. Well, yeah, super busy
Hi,
with
Penny.
Work.
There is a ghost today.
Penny has joined us.
There's a demon.
No, so yeah, I have like little to no memory of the last episode, but since I edited it, I did write down some creepy corrections, conclusions, clarifications. Only a couple.
That's like some sort of miracle. And
I know
that when I listened to it, I wrote down notes as well, and I don't understand how that's possible. I feel like next week I'm going to listen to it again, because I must have been really distracted that day. I don't believe that.
So, we talked about career tests.
Yeah, that
I remember. On one of our many tangents.
Yes, I'm a helper.
And
you couldn't remember what yours said.
Right. Or I just always disregarded it, so I never remembered. So I took a career test on 123test.com. That sounds pretty legit.
Oh, you
right?
took one?
I did.
Like, as an adult? Oh, mm-hmm. This is probably totally different than what you would have got in high school.
Mm-hmm, probably. So my top match is translator.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting? I was
do
like,
you speak any foreign
I
languages?
I think I would like to do that. I speak very little French.
Okay.
But then that kind of allows me to understand a little bit of Spanish too. I don't know. I took the required amount of French in high school.
Well,
that's how much I speak.
Bonjour to Annie, who is a dedicated listener.
That was a really good accent, by the way. Bonjour.
I already told her that I'm hopeless. That trying to teach me a foreign language, like, first of all, I have a hearing impairment and I read lips, so you can't read lips in a language you don't know. The fact that I ever learned English is a miracle in itself. So I don't even know what I do. I tried Spanish and It was the hardest thing I've ever done and the worst grade I've ever had. But anyway, bonjour. Okay, thank you. That sounds so much nicer. I learned that
from Beauty and the Beast.
I think you did it really well.
Thanks.
I don't know what she's going to say. Mm. But she's a high school French teacher. So maybe she can give you some hot tips on how to, like, do a refresh so you can pick up some change on the side. Maybe this could be your side hustle.
I'll tell you my two favorite words in French.
Okay, I remember about two from my semester of French.
Horseback riding. I'm gonna butcher it, I think, now. I'm feeling self-conscious. So horseback riding is le ticket de séance.
That's really cute.
And then hamburger. Hamburger is my favorite because it's just, it's the same word, but it with a thick French accent. So it's like, le hamburger.
That does sound very Beauty and the Beast.
That's my favorite.
I think in Spanish, it's like hamburguesa, something like that. Nice. It's not vastly different.
Yeah.
I was so bad at foreign languages that I kept trying them in different language. I didn't know I had a hearing impairment yet. Mm-hmm. So I kept trying different ones thinking maybe this one will stick. So I took French, I took German, and I took Latin. Mm-hmm. And I know about 10 words. I can't make a sentence in any language. That's basically the long story.
I mean, same.
I took Spanish, the most in Spanish. I took that in college, and that was a 5-day-a-week mm-hmm. class. And I remember a lot of vocabulary.
Right.
And I can read a lot of signs in Spanish, but I absolutely, like, they wouldn't let me in Mexico. I don't think I'd be allowed in. They'd be like, no, her accent's horrible. Yeah. Pick her out.
I think that's my level of French, too. Like, I remember a lot of the, like, nouns, but, like, conjugating verbs, I couldn't do that anymore.
I didn't even know that was a thing till I took foreign language.
Right.
I was like,
exactly.
What are we doing? Why are we doing mm-hmm. things to verbs? La hôpital. That was my favorite word in hospital? French class. Yeah. I just thought it sounded nice.
And discotheque. That's a good one.
Oh, that is a good one.
The club, I guess.
I'm going to the club. Mm-hmm. If they subbed in discotheque every time they said club in like a rap song, it would not be the same.
Yeah. Maybe I'd like it more.
But yeah, you can side hustle.
Yeah,
Rissa, so I interpreter
got,
Rissa.
Okay, I don't know how any of these are different, but it's like, well, okay, I don't know how these first two are different. And it's translator, interpreter, or sign language interpreter. Those are my top three.
Well, we know what sign language is.
What's the difference between translator and interpreter, though?
When you translate it, it's for the other person.
Mm-hmm. An interpreter is maybe like
interpreter doing it. You're listening, then translating. Wait.
So. I think maybe I understand. Like you're listening to like you're not communicating between two people. You're like interpreting what maybe like a speech somebody said in another language, and you kind of dictate it in English or whatever.
Right.
Okay. I think I got it.
I think. Because an ASL interpreter is the person at the front of the room mm-hmm. who's signing.
Yeah, so that'll be another.
Okay, here's what blew my mind one day.
Clarification.
Whatever. I was like, wait, American Sign Language. Mm-hmm. That means that in other countries, people mm-hmm. have different sign language. Mm-hmm. And then my head exploded. Yeah. And I thought, how many different kinds of sign language are there? I have no idea.
Yeah, my old roommate and best friend and listener of the podcast, Emma.
Hi, Emma.
She studied to be a sign language interpreter for a while.
And nice. So, like, I have a couple friends who are.
So we talked about that a lot. It's like, there's different languages.
Seriously, I think I learned that last year. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, first of all, totally ethnocentric to just assume that.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, we're in charge of sign language for everybody.
Right.
And I remember getting a book on Native American Sign Language when I was in like second or third grade. And me and my BFF, Josephine, were going to try and learn it so that we could have our own secret language.
Yeah.
It's pretty high priority stuff when you're in second grade. That's amazing. So I already knew that there was other types.
Yeah.
And I knew that wasn't like a nonfiction book. Yeah. I don't know. I just never put two and two together. Anyway, my friends Laura and my friend Terry are both sign language interpreters and stellar people.
I want to read you down the list of the next few jobs because a lot of them apply. So the next one is choreographer.
Hey, you already do that.
Artistic coach. What does that mean? Hairdresser. Performance artist.
Nice.
Child care worker. Maybe not. Lexicographer. Do you know what that is?
Well, lexicon is for words.
Mm-hmm.
Lexicographer?
Lexicographers write and compile the content for dictionaries.
How do you find new words?
And they also determine which new words are common use and should be included in the glossary. I don't think that I would like doing that.
I can't decide if that's a job you sit at a computer and do, or if it's the kind of job. If it's more like anthropological and you get to go visit different places and try and find new words, then that would be really cool.
Like a lexicographer.
If your job was just to receive a list and be like, I don't like the way that one sounds. I'm going to cross that shit right off. Then that sounds terrible.
A lexicographer probably decided to include swag in a dictionary. Like,
I just saw someone who I guess was a lexicographer. What did we say? How do you say that?
I gotta look at it again.
Lexicographer?
Lexicographer, yeah.
My mouth wants to say that really ugly. We're just gonna let that not happen again. I just saw one of those, some dude who works for Webster's Dictionary on TV the other day talking about how they either included two new words or excluded two new words, and I do not remember what they are. So I guess I have actually seen one of these people before.
Nice.
He looked just like a normal person. He did not look creative enough to be your kind of people.
It could be lexicographer. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Who cares?
That sounds crazy.
Book editor, interior designer, Montessori school teacher, which, yes, I would definitely do that. Art director, creative director, dancer, presenter, news anchor. Totally want to be a news anchor. Dance teacher, photography teacher, or music teacher.
You got like best career survey ever.
I don't think that any of those.
All of those jobs sound fun.
Yeah. And I don't think that any of those were on any of my high school career
tests. Sure they weren't, because you probably had all of this like narrative, all this narrative in your head about how you were supposed to reply.
Yeah.
So you probably got, like, accountant and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, so I think that that was pretty dead on. So thank you, 123test.com.
Fun. Yeah, mine, I stopped taking them because mine, like, literally always say the same things.
I wanted to take, like, five of them because...
I love psychological tests. They're so much fun.
It took a lot of time,
Yeah, some of them are kind of long. Mm-hmm. I don't like the magazine quizzes because those are clearly bullshit.
Right.
But I am a sucker for a Facebook quiz, even though I know that they're garbage. But the real, like the ones that are the psychological quiz, personality kind of tests and things, mm-hmm. I always think they're interesting, even if I don't buy into it all the way. I'm like, oh, that's still fun to think about. Kind of like horoscopes. Right. It's fun to think about. I don't really believe it.
Yeah, same.
But I still find it entertaining.
Same. So the next clarification that I have. Is we talked about Missouri liquor laws. I think we were...
Oh, the blue laws and
yeah,
when
we were
that
talking
all
about
changed.
The blue laws. So, apparently, Missouri has a laissez-faire approach to alcohol regulation compared to other states. Because we have the wine country and we have a lot of beer brewing. You know,
There's a lot of Anheuser-Busch. Here.
Yeah. A lot of big money in alcohol here.
I was going to say, like, half the state is employed by someone who makes alcohol.
Mm-hmm. So, apparently, other states have a lot of rules about off-premises selling of alcohol, so like liquor stores and stuff like that.
Oh, but yeah, where you can't buy it in the grocery. You have to go to a separate store.
I know. I always think that's weird. I'm very surprised because I'm like, able to go get alcohol at the UGAS down the street or Schnucks or whatever, like, and other places don't do that.
No, and there's places in Missouri that are straight up dry counties where you can't buy it at all. I always think that's super weird. Mm-hmm. I'm like, even when I don't want it, I'm just like, why are you a dry cat? That just, I don't know. Seems like way too much effort to maintain. Just let them have a liquor license. Who gives a shit? It's not like they, if somebody wants alcohol, they're going to drive to the next town.
Yeah. So, and then we also, so we have this like laissez-faire approach to alcohol, you know, restrictions, but they do limit the hours of retail alcohol sales to between 6 a.m. and 1:30 a.m. Monday through Saturday. So apparently that's unusual.
I mean, obviously no one's drinking then. I'm sure it's working.
I mean, I've definitely been in a bar till 3 a.m.
I was going to say, like, then why can you go to 3 a.m. bars? That's just
I think it's the retail. So it's the retail alcohol sales. It's not actually the on-premises drinking as opposed to off-premises drinking.
This sounds like some bullshit so they can have a thing where they make money off of bars who get 3 o'clock mm-hmm. licenses. Like, generating permits for no real purpose other than to create revenue.
Yeah. So yeah, those are the...
It's not like we're uptight about alcohol here.
So those are the Missouri liquor laws.
Okay. So here's the present I was going to bring to you today.
Oh, right.
This is way more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the doggies hiking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought I was taking the dogs hiking. I took them to this place that turned out not to be the place I wanted to go to. I went to a place called Blue Springs, which is the first time in a long time I've gone somewhere. And I was like, God damn it. I know this isn't the right place. It's not even the right town. I know I've got my wires crossed somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I got there and it is a conservation area, which was what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But right adjacent to it is like an RV park. So that's not really my jam. I like to go where it's quiet enough that you don't hear humans.
Mm-hmm.
And you sure don't see evidence that they're around there. And there was a lot of litter, which just made me angry. But the river, the spring, the river, whatever, was fairly low. So there's a big sandbar.
Yeah.
So me and the puppers, we went out on the sandbar and I found the skeletal remains of a mammal of some sort.
Yes, I would have loved it.
And I was going to bring it to you, but two things stopped me. One, I was like, it's not just the skeleton. There were still like fleshy bits on it.
Oh, yeah. Gross.
And not in a closed vehicle for like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
The dogs were super interested in it. And mm-hmm. I was like, no, doggies. Mm-mm. That is what not delicious.
What kind of mammal do you think it might have been?
I think maybe a raccoon or something. It was mm-hmm. kind of hard. It looked like somebody peeled it like an orange, kind of. It was really weird.
Took the skull, though.
Okay, so then I thought about that. And I was like, so maybe I'll just take the skull. But then I'm like, is it okay? It's a conservation area. I know that leave no trace rule definitely applies.
Oh.
I know you're not supposed to take like rocks or plants. Does a skull count? Am I committing a crime if I take an animal skull? I mean, is anybody going to miss it particularly? I don't know. So I was thinking about it and then it was time for me to kind of head back and I came back to it again. I'm like, okay, I'm going to poke at it with the stick and see if the skull pops off. And it did not.
Okay.
So it's going to have to be a whole process. And I was like, well, it doesn't really matter if I decide if this is a crime or not, because I'm not taking that whole fucking thing home. That's not happening.
All right. Yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah. So you almost had a raccoon skull. It was going to be really cool. Its teeth fit together perfectly. And
I would have mounted it and hung it on the wall.
It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was really pristine white. And I think the river had probably been up just a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
So it was washed off. So I posted on Facebook to try and identify it before we did our recording tonight, because I have friends that know stuff.
And my friend Matt, who lives out in the country, is like, I'd bet a 20 that's a raccoon. And he said, the coyotes peel them. And I was like, ooh, that's really gruesome. And I think that's what actually happened. Mm-hmm. So now I'm even more convinced it was a raccoon.
Damn.
And I'm very sorry I couldn't bring it to you. That would
okay.
It could have been our mascot. Mm-hmm. We'll just pretend.
Well, Penny's our mascot.
She is our mascot. And
I don't know where she went.
I don't know, but I think that's when the demon comes. When Penny shows up.
She is a demon.
What are you going to... Did I have anything on my notes? I don't think I did. I don't believe it, though.
I don't know where your notes are, so...
I'm probably going to have something next time, so sorry in advance.
That's okay. So, do you remember what my topic is? What I told you?
No.
I'm going to do ghosts who solved their own murders.
Oh, now I remember.
Or helped solve their own murders.
Yes. Now I remember.
And I've got 4 stories, so I apologize if this is going to be, like, a 3-hour podcast, but...
Well, you know what?
Really good stories I couldn't pick between.
We could always split it into like 2 and 2 if it seems like it's getting long.
Sure.
Okay.
So the first woman I'm going to tell you about, Zona Hester Shue, or Zana or Zona. It's Z-O-N-A.
Who knows?
I'm going to say Zona because I like that.
Okay.
So on January 23rd in 1897, Zona's body was discovered. This young boy was sent on an errand from her husband's office to their home in Greenbrier, West Virginia. So her husband sends this young boy on an errand to his wife at her home.
I'm assuming that they do not live out in the country.
I don't know. I don't know what Greenbrier, West Virginia is like in 1897, but... I mean, it's 1897, so I guess it would be country. Isn't everything country in 1897?
No, there were, like...
Yeah, I guess that was...
Right. Town-ish. Yeah. I mean, not city like we think of now, but...
Right. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So...
It matters to me because I'm visualizing.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I need probably context. Probably
a small town.
Okay, thank you.
I'll look it up, and I'll tell you next podcast.
I appreciate that.
So...
very visual. I'm trying to imagine this, and I need to know.
I understand. I totally
understand.
It's like
the plane. I need to know. Are we talking about a little mosquito, or are we talking about, like, a giant jet? Mm-hmm. So, now...
I got you.
Okay.
Anyway, so this young boy goes to the house, and he discovers Zona's body lying at the bottom of stairs with her neck slightly twisted.
That seems not okay.
And she's dead. So, her husband hears the news. He comes home. His name's Edward Shue. He comes home and he carries the body upstairs and he dressed it himself and he put her in a high-necked collar and veil, which is contrary to local custom at the time.
Did he not think to tell someone?
So, yeah. So, Dr. Knapp, a local doctor and coroner, came out an hour later. So, I assume that Edward called him around that time.
Well, he probably didn't, like, call him on a phone.
Sure. He sent probably, the young boy
he
that
probably
discovered...
sent them...
Can you imagine this is a young boy who was sent on an errand and he discovers... Anyway, so...
Poor kid. Thought he was going to get, like, a cup of sugar and he finds a dead lady.
Yeah. Boy, go get the doctor. So, Dr. Knapp comes over. He tries to examine the body, but Edward Shue is, like, cradling the body, and he's, like, sobbing and acting, like, very... He's, like, in hysterics because his wife is dead, right? And so, Dr. Knapp, he was trying to... He saw some, like, bruising on Zona's neck, and he tries to examine it closer, and then Shue becomes violent and is, like... in hysterics. So, the doctor listed her cause of death as everlasting faint.
Oh, for fuck's sake. But how about her husband killed her?
But then he changed it to childbirth. But it's not known if she was pregnant at the time. But Knapp said he was treating her for, quote, female trouble a couple weeks prior.
Oh my God.
So Zona's body was then laid out at her parents' home for her wake. And So her husband continued to act strangely around the body. He wouldn't let anywhere near Zona, and he also placed a rolled towel on one side of her head as like a pillow, saying it would help her rest easier. Then he also tied a scarf around her neck, claiming it was her favorite scarf. So Mary Jane Hester, who is Zona's mother, she was like, I don't think so. Something's weird about this. She's like, I've never liked Edward. And I protest, like, she was like, I did not like him from day one. Like, they shouldn't have gotten married. So then she starts telling people that she has been seeing her daughter's spirit come to her in her dreams. And it starts out as this, like, white light. It doesn't really do anything, but she can feel her daughter. And then eventually, as she goes on, it turns into, like, this white light turns into a fully formed apparition of her daughter. And her daughter explains in great detail how her husband broke her neck. And she even, to prove that her husband broke her neck, the apparition turns her head around, like, 180 degrees, like, exorcist style.
I don't like that.
That was such a weird detail. So anyway, her mom became convinced that her daughter was murdered by her husband and convinced the local prosecutor to reopen the case.
I think her mom has good intuition whether she had these dreams or not.
I feel exactly the same way.
He sounds like he was acting pretty cagey.
Well, so they exhumed the body and found that Zona's neck had been broken and that she had also been strangled. So they put Edward on trial, and her mom, Zona's mom, testified against him. The prosecution, like, kind of skirted around the ghost story for fear that it would make her look crazy. But the defense, like, needled Mary Jane about these ghost, you know, stories, hoping that that would discredit her. But it didn't. She never changed her story. The ghost story was submitted as official evidence, and the jury believed her and sentenced Edward to life in prison.
Good.
Right?
Fucker.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty dope.
So there was never any, like, well, I mean, it's not like there's going to be DNA evidence that's 18, whatever.
Right.
90-something. I don't know what they would consider proof. They didn't have fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have, I mean, they had eyewitness accounts.
I hope the confessions. Doctor, yeah, I hope the doctor testified. It didn't say anything like that.
I mean, I would think, like, maybe if your hand size matched bruises, or, you know what I mean? Like, those would be the only kinds of things. You would have very, very few ways to physically prove that someone was guilty. A lot of it would be just common sense.
Yeah, like I was going to say that, you know, back then I think people relied on their intuition way more than we do now.
If you relied on your intuition as a juror now, you would be excused.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're not supposed, that's not how that's right. supposed you to work. Look at the You're facts. Supposed to look at the evidence, and not just the
Prove
evidence.
Without a Prove without a reasonable doubt. What is it?
Beyond
a reason.
So close.
Sorry.
But I'm it's drunk. Even more than that, though. It's not just, did they do it or not, but did they break the law?
Yeah.
What does the law say?
Yeah.
I was so pissed the last time I did jury duty. It was a really gruesome case, and I knew it was going to be pretty nasty, but I also felt like there weren't going to be a whole lot of people who could probably handle it and not, and still do all those things. I felt like it would be really hard to not be super emotional about it because it was really yucky. And I was like, I think I could separate it, even though it's really awful. And if I think I can do that, then even though I don't want to, then I should.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was feeling this kind of, and I didn't mean it in like an arrogant way, just like I think I may have a skill that maybe other people don't possess.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They don't give a shit about that. They pick some dude. Oh my God. He was audibly snoring through most of the questioning. It's voir dire, I think is what it's called.
Did you say an English word?
No, voir dire. It's what they call the questioning when they question the jurors,
mm-hmm.
and they ask questions to try and figure out who to exclude.
Oh, okay.
And it's definitely a French word. Where's Annie when we need her? And it basically, so one of the questions was, have you ever been a victim of domestic violence? It's like, or known someone who has, like 90% of the people in the room raised right. their hand, because yeah. that includes neighbors, coworkers, family members, you, your sibling, you know. So I don't know. It's so prevalent. Mm-hmm. Hardly anyone doesn't know someone.
Right.
Except for Home Slice, who's snoring.
My God.
Oh my God, I hated him so bad. He just looked like, I just want to punch him in the face. I hated him the whole time. And he just looked like, I was totally judging him too. I was like, he looks like such a sleazeball racist. He looked like one of the kids I grew up with in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, oh God. I just loathed him and I didn't even know him.
Yeah.
But anyway, they picked him. So it was like, when I got done, I found out later that the case was even 10 times worse than I thought it was. So it was like, okay, well, maybe it was all right that I didn't get picked, because yeah. that's maybe further than I can.
Was it meant to be?
No. So it was okay. But I still was like, there's no way that guy is. He's going to be snoring through the super serious trial.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be taking naps. Right. Give a fuck.
Yeah.
I'm sure the prosecutor picked him. He was like, the sleeping guy? I want him. Please, please. Can I have him? Can I have the guy who sleeps? I want the sleeping guy.
Yes.
I don't know how that works. Like, I guess that can be something we can look up, because I know yeah. how it works on TV, but then there's real life.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to tell you about the Red Barn murder in 1826.
Mm-hmm.
Maria Martin, she formed a relationship with a guy named William Corder. She had already had two kids out of wedlock.
So oh my God, not that. Or
whatever. And then she got pregnant by Corder. And Corder was a ladies' man, and he kind of wanted to keep their relationship a secret. Because he wanted to...
Couldn't keep it in his pants.
Exactly. But Martin wanted to... Maria wanted to get married after their first child was born.
She was like, people are judging me. Mm-hmm. Can you please make me an honest woman?
Right. Corder heard rumors that she was going to be prosecuted for having bastard children. And so he told her to dress in men's clothing to avoid suspicion and meet him at the Red Barn so that they could go and elope to Ipswich.
Ipswich. I'm sure nobody will notice. Like, that's how that works.
Mm-hmm. So, Maria did that and was never seen alive again. So Corder started making his way across England, and he would send letters to her parents citing different reasons as to why Maria couldn't write them herself. And Maria's mother began having dreams that her daughter was still in the Red Barn.
Like, Maria has the vapors. She can't write today.
Right, exactly. Like, oh, she's, like, pooping. I don't know.
I mean, writing a letter's
who
like...
Who knows?
You can put that off to another time.
Yeah.
It doesn't really have... There's not a clock on it.
I know, right? Like, her right hand is broken. Or I don't know. Yeah, who knows? So... Her mother began having these dreams that her daughter was still in the Red Barn. So her mom convinced her dad to go to the Red Barn and dig out the old, like, grain silo that was in there. And they found Maria's remains.
Oh, her poor parents.
I know.
Wait, where are the kids?
Who knows? With grandma and grandpa, probably.
Okay, we're going to say that.
I don't know. Or maybe Corder has them. Who knows?
I hope something nice happened to the children.
Me too. So, Corder, I love that you, yeah, you, like, are concerned about the kids and all of this.
Well, I feel bad for them. Their mom possibly abandoned them, yeah, and then she got murdered.
You're right to be concerned about the kids.
Okay, I just felt bad for the kids.
I was being sincere that I'm saying that. I like that you were concerned about the kids. So, anyway, they find Maria's remains, and Corder was sentenced to hang and then dissection.
What? What is even the point of that?
I know. So
that's just some sadist having a party.
Yeah, I mean, listen to this. So he was hanged, and then they slit his body open and displayed it for the public, and over 5,000 people lined up to view his body.
What the fuck?
Then he was, I know, this has totally changed from, like, a ghost story to,
listen what to is this the matter fucking, with people?
Listen to this fucking crazy ass shit. So, then he was taken to Cambridge University and then used as a test subject, and his skeleton was used as a teaching aid.
Okay, well, at least some good came of it.
And then, so this happened in 1826. In 2004, his bones were cremated. And that is now where he lies.
Well, I mean, he's a bastard, but
is that
did you ever read, was The Lottery by Shirley Jackson required reading for you? It's a short really story.
Shirley Jackson, did she do House on Haunted Hill?
Don't ask me hard questions.
Okay, I'll look that up for the next one.
I know she wrote other stuff, but I don't think that is one of them.
Okay.
Anyway, it's a short story. I don't remember all the details, so I'm not gonna say them. But the gist of it is that once a year, I think, as a sacrifice, so they can have good crops, I think, is the deal. There's a lottery. This is not a lottery you want to win. Mm-hmm. If you win the lottery, the whole town stones you to death.
Oh, shit.
That's the prize. Yeah, so the story is about everyone, like, all the buzz, like, before the lottery in the town and people talking about it. And I think it was, I think there was, like, a wooden box or something. So it was just all these different conversations, these little vignettes in the story that sort of prep you. And you totally, obviously, don't think that the lottery is going to end in such a horrible, violent way. And, yeah, I was like, why did they do that? And who's going to agree to that? So every year you're taking the chance that you may get stoned to death by not just your friends and neighbors, but also your family, or that you could have to be someone. It's not a true story, though. Shirley Jackson's just real fucked up in the head.
Oh.
Thank God. Or maybe she's not. Maybe it's one of those things like we're supposed to extract, like, Orson Welles' Animal Farm, like sort of political satire. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure there's some deeper meaning there that my eighth grade brain did not absorb, and I've had too much pirate juice to extract.
Pirate grease.
I have a sore throat. I'm dying.
Me too. I feel a little gravelly. Like, my voice is an octave lower.
Well, we had a whole season change this week.
That's true.
I feel like my allergies are trying to murder me.
Me too. I've just been real juicy up in the face area all week.
Although, when I realized I didn't have any maps with me and my GPS wasn't working, and I was like, I'm going to go home a different way because I don't want to drive in rush hour traffic. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be real smart. I was like, well, I know my cardinal directions. I know how to go east. Yeah, except country roads don't work like that. And then I got on N, which I thought I knew where N went, and I was also wrong about that. So I went a whole lot farther south than I really intended to. I went almost to Elephant Rock State Park.
Oh, wow. I love that place.
Oh, it's really pretty. Mm-hmm. It's not actually where I meant to go, but I meant to go more like High Ridge.
But you made it back.
I did. I made it back in one piece. Oh, but while I was driving, you know, like sometimes when you're out in the country and you sort of feel like you're in a landscape painting, you're like, oh, the hills and the sky was like the perfect blue and there was little moo cows everywhere. Do you moo at the cows when you see them? I always say hi. I moo at them.
No, I don't moo at them. I'm like, hey, there's cows.
Well, I figure I should speak their language. They probably don't know English.
I like that. I probably do that from now on.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, moo. Anyway, so I mooed at the cows and I was like, I have been waiting for this moment for months. This winter has gone on for ever. Mm-hmm. It's been like the longest winter I can remember.
Yeah.
I feel like we lived in Alaska this year. Mm-hmm. It was horrible.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was really bad. So even though I got super lost and spent like twice as long and twice as much gas as required to get home, I had my landscape painting moment I've been waiting for mm-hmm. with my cute little cows. They don't even look real sometimes when they're on the hill.
Yeah.
Like they're just far away.
Right.
Just far enough away you can't see detail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they just look like little plastic figurines or something.
Yeah, and it's late April when we're recording this, and it has just springed.
Yeah, that's like, bullshit. That's not how that's supposed to work.
It's been very cold. It snowed in April this year, which was crazy.
Like two weeks ago.
I don't think I ever remember it doing that ever.
Was there a ghost in that story at all? Do we skip that part?
So it was kind of similar to the first one where her mother had dreams of her daughter.
Oh, that's right. I remember now. Just kidding.
I mean, it was loosely ghostly.
Barely a ghost.
Right.
Okay. I feel like came to in your dreams is just, that's your subconscious talking to you.
Yeah.
I don't think that's supernatural.
Mm-hmm. That's one theory, yeah.
Because that was just a whole bunch of fishy stuff all at once. I think if you didn't have some sort of response to that,
right,
something's wrong with your brain.
Yeah.
And it's significant.
So the next one is about Teresita Bassa. So in 1977, Teresita Bassa was found murdered in her apartment. Police were having trouble finding a killer because they only had the only real evidence they had was a journal entry written by Teresita that said, "Get tickets for A.S." as in initials A.S. So then there was an anonymous tip called in that was submitted that they said that A.S. stood for Alan Showery, who worked with Teresita. And then the police traced this anonymous tip call back to Jose and Remy Chua? C-H-U-A.
That sounds right.
Chua. I'm sure it's not. But anyway, I apologize. So, Jose ended up telling the police that Showery went to Teresita's apartment to fix her TV and ended up murdering her and stealing her jewelry. And the police were like, how do you know all this? And Jose says he claimed that his wife, Remy, had been possessed by the spirit of Teresita, who explained the details of her crime. So the police decide to go to Showery's apartment, and they find Teresita's jewelry, and Showery was then convicted to 14 years in prison.
Okay, where did this take place?
That's a good question. Let me look that up really quick. This article from listverse.com says that on February 21st, 1977, the Chicago Fire Department battled a raging fire that threatened to consume an apartment building. Discovered under a charred mattress was the body of 47-year-old respiratory therapist Teresita Bassa. The fire wasn't enough to cover her stab wounds or the butcher knife sticking out of her chest, but police were still stumped as to the identity of the killer.
I'm just trying to think of what other religions would people readily accept. Oh, well, my spouse is possessed by a ghost, and she told me. Like, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people would be like, I think my wife needs a psychiatric evaluation. She thinks she's possessed by the ghost of her friend, family member, whoever that was to her.
Right.
So that sounds very, like,
yeah, but
accepting of kind of supernatural, superstitious stuff.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that they found, like, the Remy. No, Remy's the wife. Who's the Jose said that this Showery guy stole jewelry from her apartment after he killed her. And they found her jewelry in his apartment.
That's just rude.
Well, it's rude, but it's also quite a coincidence.
Mm-hmm. So does the wife talk about how exactly So he says, my wife was possessed and she told me, but like, how'd that go down? Were they hanging out at the dinner table and all of a sudden she has a different voice and tells him a story? Like, how's that happen? How does he know that she's possessed? I feel like I have a lot of questions for the two of them.
Yeah, I'm not really finding anything about specifically about what happened with
Remy. I'm going to be a non-believer here and say that he has some inside info.
That's totally fine.
I think that he maybe saw something, or dude was a friend and got drunk and told him what he did.
Right.
And he was like, I don't want to implicate myself, but this needs to come out.
Yeah.
Which, that's fine.
It seems reasonable.
I'm totally fine with that. Dude got caught, got what he should have got.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad. Somebody was murdered. That's not okay.
Right.
So I don't really care how he found out as long as the guy went to jail.
This last story is my favorite.
Okay. I'm not poo-pooing your ghost. Your ghost could be totally real.
No. I'm
I just, well,
I'm also open to that explanation as well.
Okay. I just want to, I'm just not raining on your ghost.
It's just an interesting story.
It is interesting story.
All right. This one's called,
but I told you I am more likely to listen. I'm more likely to believe stories where people talk about stuff that happened in their house.
Right.
Like when we were in the garage earlier and the scissors started swinging. I have no explanation for that.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. This is creepy. I totally forgot about that.
I didn't think it was creepy. I just thought it was odd.
Yeah, it wasn't creepy, but, creepy in the context of, like,
we were about to go record
a creepy podcast.
It was very odd.
Yeah. So we usually have these little pre-podcast meetings in the garage, and we're sitting there just shooting shit, and all of a sudden, a pair of scissors just starts swinging on the wall. She has a little pegboard.
With all my little
tools and paraphernalia, and then a pair of scissors just started swinging for no reason.
In my little workshop.
Yeah, and it was in my line of sight, and like, no explanation and I heard for that it, whatsoever.
Like, they smacked against they were hanging in front of
earplugs, right? Like a package of earplugs?
No, you're adorable. Those are, they're wire nuts for electrical wires.
Oh, okay.
They're similarly shaped. They look like
earplugs. I didn't read the package.
No, they're like, so, you know, if you have to twist wires together. For safety, for sparks.
Yeah.
That's cute, though.
What? That was Why is cute. That cute?
I don't know. It's just cute. Don't smack at the cute, guys.
All right.
Just accept it. Anyway, right. But yeah, they started swinging and nothing else moved. And it was definitely not windy.
Nope.
There was like, I don't even think either of us was like taking a deep breath.
Right. It was a weird thing that happened.
It was odd. I have no explanation for it.
So anyway, the Golan Heights axe murder. So in Golan Heights region in Israel, a 3-year-old boy recounts to his parents how he was murdered with an axe in his past life.
I feel like as a parent of a 3-year-old,
mm-hmm.
that would be really disturbing.
Mm-hmm. So, fathers and relatives and elders and Dr. Lash, who is a prominent physician, went with the boy to neighboring villages to try to identify the village that he came from, to find evidence of his past life.
So, wait a minute. So, the kid says, I'm 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to play with blocks, and I was murdered in my last life.
Yeah.
And they were like, I mean, if we can pick out the Dalai Lama when he's like 3 or 4, this is probably true too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that this was probably over a long period of time that he's like telling his parents the story and is very adamant about it and will not let it go.
And they're like, fine, we will check it out.
Yeah. I think that the parents probably saw it as past the point of just childish imagination and were like, well, maybe we should really fucking look into this shit.
If he said it enough times, I'd be like, you know mm-hmm. what? Like, what the hell? Let's go check it out.
I'm telling you what, if I ever have kids and they tell me that they saw a ghost or have a past life or whatever, I'm going to be like in it for real, I'm going to be like, tell me all about it. And I'm going to report it on this podcast.
I fully support you 100% in whatever parenting style you choose, provided no harm is caused.
No, I mean,
if you start beating the child, I'm going to have to tell somebody.
I'm just
going to
tell him the truth that nobody knows if that stuff really exists or not. And it's up to him to really.
No, that is the truth. I mean, I can't tell you why scissors were swinging around in the garage for no particular reason. Exactly. But
yeah, I mean, I would really like to do a whole episode on past life experiences and stuff.
I kind of feel like, I don't know, the idea of rebirth is a little, to me, that's easier to wrap my head around than aliens.
Mm-hmm. Which still boggles my mind.
I just don't get, I just think if there's aliens, we either wouldn't know it, or they wouldn't look anything like us. They would be like little blips of light or
mm-hmm. Well,
smaller than dust particles or so big we couldn't see them. I mean, or they'd be something we wouldn't know about.
I could get down with the idea that they wouldn't look like us because it seems like
really,
you know,
arrogant.
The universe is full of like infinite possibilities, and so the possibility that they are humanoid in shape seems low. However, I think if we're all, you know, in this all, if they're in the same universe as us, wouldn't it make sense that a creature evolved in a similar way? Like, if we find another planet.
Only if their planet was similar to ours and we haven't found one that's similar to ours
yet. Mean, right. Well, there's like some that they can't really tell, but they can kind of surmise that maybe these planets are Earth-like because they're a similar distance as we are from our sun to their sun. And
well, maybe when we know more, I'll reevaluate.
Right,
but for now,
you know, I think
it's got to be able to tolerate life on Mars or whatever.
Well, and think about like if the dinosaurs hadn't been wiped out from our planet, then they would have kept evolving, and maybe they would have evolved into intelligent lizard people. And that is one of those types of aliens that people are really adamant about believing that lizard people run our world. So, who knows?
Like the Geico commercial lizard?
I think people think that they're bigger, like human-shaped sized.
I mean, the one on the Geico commercial is pretty cute.
He is very cute. And he has a really nice accent.
He does have a really nice accent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a sucker for an accent, I tell you.
Me too.
If you ever, you know, I have like 5,000 thoughts all the time. So I try really hard to do meditation to quiet this beehive. But I'm not very good at the kind of meditation where you just sit there and try not to think any thoughts because that is, like, literally impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So, and anybody who wants to write to me to tell me how that's not literally impossible, thank you, but no thank you.
Well, I feel the same way as you do about that kind of meditation, but it helped me to think about that even trying to do that is meditation.
Yeah, no, it just isn't relaxing for me.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to accomplish a goal, which is to reduce anxiety and to kind of slow down the traffic jam.
Yeah.
So I like guided meditation,
which
feels more like, I guess what people would think of is like hypnosis. Like if you lift, you know, so they're talking you through something, and since I'm super visual,
that makes sense. Yeah.
I can imagine, you know. I've got the creative parts to imagine the scenery or whatever that they're talking about. And so I get all the components and parts and pieces of meditation, but I also have like a tour guide, which is nice. But anyway, my point is the narrator for Headspace it's a meditation.
Oh, yes.
App.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh my God, he has the
about.
Best voice.
He does.
I would listen to him read a dictionary for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, that's right. And it's not like it's not like, ooh, that gets me hot and bothered. It's just a really pleasant, relaxing voice. Yeah. I was like, wow, what a gift. That dude could seriously read anything.
Yeah.
He will be employed forever.
So, where we left off was the 3-year-old boy is going around with his father, some other relatives, some elders of his village, and this prominent doctor, Dr. Lash. And they're going around to different villages to see if they can find any evidence of this kid's past life.
I'm glad you got us on track. Yeah. I forgot about all of us.
Okay. All right.
So. Sorry. My apologies.
So this boy, they're going around and they arrive in this village that the boy recognizes. And he starts to even remember his name from his past life. And so his adult handlers are asking around to these villagers, do you know this name? And they're like, oh yeah, that guy like disappeared from here like 4 years ago. And so they keep walking around and the boy finds his previous home, recognizes the home that he lived in. And he walks up to a man nearby and he calls the man by name and he says, I used to be your neighbor. We had a fight and you killed me with an axe. And the guy went white. And the kid says, I even know where he buried my body. And they go, he led the group to a field and pointed out where his body was buried. They dug it up. They found the remains of an adult man with a linear split in his skull. And it also matched this boy's birthmark on his head.
Oh. Ooh, that one was really creepy.
Then the man confesses to the crime. And Dr. Lash decides that they should enact their own form of punishment rather than alerting the authorities. And it is not known what happened to the murderer. This is from a legit scientific journal, by the way.
It's not from, like, Us Weekly.
Right. This is from, I'm sorry, I'm pulling it up. And it is taking a really long time. So this is from, well,
Dr. All right, Oz doesn't count.
I lied. It.
I hate him.
Maybe for the next episode, I'll look more into this case because the way that I read the story from another site, it said that there was like actual scientific evidence. I don't know. I'll look into that. Because this website that I got this from is called the Institute for the Integration of Science, Intuition, and Spirit. Which sounds, you know, reasonably official. The website looks legit.
Is it a .edu?
.net.
Mm-mm-mm. It's a commercial website, then. That's not a educational.
Well, no. No, I know it's not an educational website. But
I mean, it doesn't mean there isn't some effort to be scientific.
I will look more into this and look at the research behind this, but that is a really damn fucking good story. And
I think whether it's true or not, it's a good story.
Yeah.
That's a good campfire chiller.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah.
I got little goosebumps.
Right?
Yeah. That was a good one.
So that last story really made me want to look more into past life experiences and stuff like that to see if there's any other like provable, you know, evidence of a past life.
Well, you know, that's how they picked the Dalai Lama. Did you know that?
I mean, I know that he's like reincarnated every year, but I don't know.
Each lifetime.
Each lifetime he's reincarnated, but I guess I don't. No.
Yeah, add that to your list. So, of fun things. There's actually some really good movies about it, which I guess I should add that to the list of things to add now. But I think around when there's a vacancy, I want to say it's around the time that they would estimate him to be 5, something like that. They start looking for the new Dalai Lama, and they have a series of like litmus tests, and it's different objects and things like that that they use to try and determine is this the reincarnated Dalai Lama or not. I think some people bring their children forward, and I think some they look for on their own. Mm-hmm. They feel like they're directed to in some way. I don't, it's been a long time since I watched the movie, so yeah. I'm a little fuzzy on the details.
I'm gonna look into that for sure. That sounds great.
I thought, I mean, if they pick wrong, that could go like horribly bad.
Yeah, right.
But the current Dalai Lama is amazing. He's great.
Mm-hmm.
He's super like Mr. Easygoing, and he doesn't shun technology. And
oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, no, he's awesome.
We've got a pretty good Pope too, so you know, maybe.
Yeah, he's so. I mean, they're human. They're fallible.
Right.
I don't agree with absolutely every single word, but in general,
right,
I would say they're doing all right. I mean, the current Pope that we have is certainly a vast improvement over the previous.
Yes, agreed.
That's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the guy with the mobile. He's got his fancy mobile in his own city.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine being so rich that you have, like, literally your own city?
I want to get into those, the Vatican Library, man. There's some weird shit in there, man.
Oh, hell yeah, the catacombs?
Yeah.
Where all the,
Oh, yeah, you can go into the catacombs. Nobody can go into the Vatican Library.
Well, there's all sorts of religious texts that are not available for the general public.
Right.
Which I think, well, that's rude.
Right.
What about all the people who are really devout? They should at least get to see it.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
Rude.
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 So this episode,
I like that last story a lot. That was my favorite by far.
Me too.
I think it being a kid certainly led some credibility, because what is the kid really going to get out of it?
Yeah, you're right.
And also, kids are not really known for being great at covering their tracks when they're making up shit. Mm-hmm. You can usually see right through it.
Right.
Where I feel like adults have half a chance at being deceptive.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I listened to a podcast the other day that totally picked apart the idea that we can... Shit, I can't remember what podcast it was, but one, the lie detectors are reliable, which I know that's been an issue, but like those shows like Lie to Me, where they like micro expressions and physical behavior, that's not really necessarily the best indicator that it's kind of a 50-50. The idea of being sort of intuitive and your interviews, even someone who's very experienced is not necessarily going to be that great at it. What is a better predictor is how many unique words they use when they tell the story.
Huh.
And I was like, damn, that's hard on the ego.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you think, oh, I'm this really intuitive person who has this, like, special gift, you know?
Yeah.
But they did all these cognitive interviews, this particular style of interview, and it turns out that unique words, because once an adult is lying, they will very carefully repeat their story exactly the same and not add in new details.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the same sort of like chant over and over and over.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, now that I'm going to watch for.
Mm-hmm.
I've also heard that if you tell people to tell the story backwards, a lot of times it falls apart. Mm. They can't, if they're lying, they can't tell it backwards. But anyway, my point is kids are, there's no way a kid could never do that.
Mm-hmm.
And to go from one town to another town to do all these different things and at that age, maintain a story for that long.
Yeah.
The kid would have to be some kind of super genius, which I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
That's possible. You could have some super smart kid on your hands who's really highly manipulative, very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that the neighbor is like, I suddenly feel very nervous.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn color. So if you do find evidence that that's all true, that'd be a pretty badass story.
Yeah. Usually, you know, I apologize. I've been super busy in my personal life lately. So usually I would have, you know, an hour or two to like go through my notes again, because I researched this like months ago. And normally what I do before we record is I go through my notes and just kind of answer my own questions. I'm like, oh, I didn't really clarify this. And sometimes, you know, hopefully I will anticipate these questions that you are now asking me. But I didn't really have time to do that. I just sort of looked over my notes for 10 minutes today.
Well, you know, I'm going to like, it's going to be like machine gun fire questions.
Yeah.
So. So I don't expect you to know the answers to all of them.
Yeah, I'll do my best to clarify most of it next time we record, hopefully.
It's my inner Barbara Walters. She was my favorite when I was a kid.
Well, I like that, and I think that's what makes this a good podcast.
We hope. I got a lot of things I need to know.
Yep. I understand.
What was the kid's name?
It didn't say, and I think it was on purpose. Anonymous.
If he was a youngin'. Mm-hmm. Don't want folks swarming the youngin'.
Yeah, but I'll let you know next time, because maybe I'm lying. Who knows? How many unique words did I use?
I can't count right now. Counting's hard.
I can't count.
I can't count on Friday nights. Counting's out of the question.
Yeah.
I can barely count on a Tuesday in the middle of the day. Are you kidding me?
Well, and surprisingly, this wasn't a very long episode.
Those stories weren't that long. I don't know why you thought it was going to be.
I don't know. Well, because I've told less stories and we've gone for 2 hours, so.
Tangents are definitely a thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that happens. It's okay.
It's cool.
Now I got to figure out I know what I'm probably going to talk about next time. Mm-hmm. So it's a local St. Louis, another true crime story. I don't know anybody in this one, and I'm damn glad I don't.
That's good.
So that's cool. So it makes it a little bit easier to do the research. Mm-hmm. This was a write-in. Someone requested.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. So I am looking into someone in St. Louis who was a serial rapist who went for decades unapprehended, who was not apprehended for decades in the very neighborhood that we live in.
Oh, shit.
Yep. Oh, he's great. Real behind bars now. He's
okay, good.
Not getting
spoiler,
out.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well, I want you to be able to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's definitely not getting that anytime soon. That's not going to be a secret.
Okay.
That's probably right there. First thing on the Wikipedia page. Mm-hmm. But dad behind bars something. Yeah, you're okay. You're safe.
Awesome. Well.
Yeah.
I look forward to it.
Yeah. I mean, it should be real gruesome and depressing, but, you know, creepy. Woo-hoo! For sure. And tomorrow.
Just the things I like.
Right. Tomorrow is our live and in person, which I hope are you going to be able to attend book club?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to talk. We will have a little, mini review, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think we've talked about this. So this Creepy Club podcast sort of was birthed out of a Creepy Club book club that started where we read books about weird stuff and we get together and drink and eat and talk about it.
Well, it was kind of a mashup.
In real life. In meat space.
What?
In meat space.
People talk to each other and like in person? Mm-hmm. Not through a computer?
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. No, well, because you and Emma had an idea for more of a paranormal thing. Mm-hmm. But you have considerable physical distance that was going to make that tough.
Right.
And so I had started, and I don't know, I just love clubs. I don't remember
we also decided last time that it was a cult and that you were our charismatic leader.
I love that. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Can you mow my lawn? That's the only thing I can think right now. As your charismatic leader, I feel like your health is dependent on mowing my lawn.
Okay.
You're definitely going to feel better. Oh my God. So Smoke Gets in Your Eyes by Caitlin Doughty, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a little mini book review because why not?
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Yeah. And she's super cool. I think she's got a YouTube channel, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I haven't watched that.
Ask a Mortician.
I just know she's great. She's very pretty and she looks like she would be a mortician. She's kind of like Betty Page-ish.
I feel like we would be friends with her.
Yeah, I think I would want to be her friend. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, and when can I come over and look at your mortuary? I'll bring fried chicken or whatever. I don't know. What's the appropriate hostess gift? If you're a mortician.
Wine.
And you invite someone over?
I would like lots of alcohol.
Like some blood red wine.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Or is that, like, too campy?
Hmm. I bet she enjoys a good dry red wine.
But she seems like a classy lady. Or no. I could just go, like, total Southside and bring her a bucket of fried chicken.
Or a raccoon skull.
Or a raccoon skull. I really wanted that skull really bad.
I really want it, too.
I poked at it with a stick for a while, which was kind of hard because the dogs were kind of interested in what I was doing. And I was like, this is probably not going to be legal for me to take it. Damn it!
Let's look up on eBay later how much a raccoon skull will be.
I can't imagine it could be that much. We got a lot of flipping raccoons. Have you been camping in the state? Jesus Christ. You'll get rolled by a raccoon if you leave any food out.
Yeah.
They're like they're the thugs of the forest.
I grew up in the suburbs, and I was in my dining room when I was a teenager, and I had called my friend on the phone, you know, back when phones had, like, cords and shit.
When you were tethered?
Yeah, when you were tethered to the wall. And I'm leaving her a voicemail. It wasn't even a voicemail back then. It's like, I guess you just called it a message.
No, we called a voicemail.
So voicemail back then?
Yeah, a voicemail machine.
Okay. Anyway, so I'm leaving her a message on her answering machine, and all of a sudden the sensor light on my back deck flips on, and there's a whole family of raccoons that are staring at me through the sliding glass door, and I screamed into the phone, because it was very sudden, and then I was like, oh my god, I'm so sorry, I explained to my friend what happened and hung up the phone, and the raccoons ran off. And my friend was like, she didn't believe me that actually happened.
Did they have,
she thought,
like,
I staged it.
Napkins tied around their neck and forks and knives in their hands?
Yes. Like, that's kind of what their faces told me in that moment.
They were like, bitch, give me some food.
I think they were eating, like, the bird seed or something.
I'm sure.
Yeah. It was something. But it was...
I went
such
on
an opportune moment for them to be like, hey.
They totally got busted. Yeah. That's like their mugshot. That's
exactly what it was. Yeah.
They are. Well, I've talked about that before, how, like, I think they have their like, off-season conventions.
Yeah, I think you talked about it on this podcast. Mm-hmm.
This week's Velcro, next week is, you know, combination locks or whatever.
You're right.
They're a bunch of thieving, adorable bastards. Mm-hmm. They're so flippin' cute. They just look like they want to be cuddled so bad.
I love how they wash their food and water.
Yes, it's so cute. They will eat your face. Mm-hmm. They do not like it. I did have a friend who had a pet raccoon when she was a kid. I do think it's possible to domesticate them like you can with a possum.
Right.
But I don't think it's necessarily... conservationally speaking, the right thing to do. It's best that they not be afraid of people for their... I don't think we're in danger of extinction at the moment by any means.
The raccoons
not based
are
on
gonna
the...
stage an uprising.
By the abundance of them every time I go camping, and how I get rolled by the raccoons every single time. Mm-hmm. Like, I just keep thinking, like, what am I gonna have to put it in, like, a bear trap and hang it from a tree?
Right.
Yes, I think that's correct. That's the right answer. Uh-huh. Yeah, because they can do anything. Yeah, so. But no, I don't think a raccoon skull is probably going to bring in much.
I forgot we were talking about that. So
that's okay. I forgot a whole story. And I was like, what are we getting back to?
It's true. All right. Well, right now we're gonna wrap it up here. We've been going on way too long.
You know, don't be so judgy.
I'm just kidding. We'd like to thank Brandon Lee Chilcote for our wonderful intro and outro music.
Thanks, hey. Brandon.
Thanks, Brandon. We would also really love to hear from you. We want to hear your personal stories. We want to hear your stories about your past life and the people that you murdered.
Whoa.
Just kidding. We don't.
Whoa.
No. We would rather not be implicated in that.
911, tell somebody else.
We would like to hear about the people that murdered you in a past life.
Okay.
That's what we just talked about.
No, I had to think about that for a minute.
That's what I meant when I said that. Anyway.
If you murdered anyone or...
Just please turn yourself in.
Don't tell me. If you did something bad, I don't want to know.
No, but we want to hear if something bad happened to them in a past life, or if something good happened to you in a past life.
Just don't do bad stuff.
Or if your past life was completely, you know, boring. We want to hear about it anyway.
Yeah, maybe you were a chambermaid. I mean, why is everybody always like, well, I was obviously the king of England.
Right. Yeah, I was Cleopatra. Yeah, that's, everyone thinks they're Cleopatra.
I'm like, whatever. I was probably a farmhand.
If you were Cleopatra in a past life, we still really want to hear about that. And we also want to hear your ghost stories and UFO stories. And we want to hear all your stories. And we would love it if we could read them out on our podcast eventually.
What's that called where my aunt says she has that thing where streetlights go out when she walks under them?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what it's called. I'll add it to the CCCs. I'm going to call them the CCCs.
That's
easier to say.
Wait, squared is four. What's cubed?
Cubed.
That sounds dumb. I don't like that. Just say the three Cs. Go ahead.
So, if you have any of these personal stories, you can tweet them at us at creepyclubpod, or you can email us at creepyclubpodcast@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook. You can like us on facebook.com/creepyclubpodcast, or you can follow us on Instagram at creepyclubpodcast. Also, if you want to know more about our stories and find our sources and learn about what we talked about, you can look at our meeting minutes on creepyclubpodcast.com.
Oh, and don't forget to rate and review on iTunes or wherever else you listen to podcasts, right? Because they could be listening to it on something else.
Yeah. Yeah. If you like our show and you want to support us and help us grow new listenership,
positive feedback.
Yeah. Please give us a good review.
Did you like how I slipped that in there?
Yeah.
It's very subtle.
Yeah.
We appreciate just the positive stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It would be awesome if you also told your friends about our podcast.
Ooh, that'd be really nice.
Mm-hmm. And have them subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. But
no, we do. We're super, we were talking when we were having garage meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about how exciting it is for us that it's not just me, Rissa, and Rissa's mom that are excited about the podcast. That, like, other people are telling us that they're enjoying, the handful of people that have been our guinea pigs have said that they've enjoyed it. And the other people have been asking about when it's coming out and have shown some interest. And that means a lot to us.
Yeah, we really appreciate your enthusiasm.
That makes us not just two weirdos sitting in your basement talking to each other on microphones.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that is essentially what's going on.
But yeah. I mean, I would be happy if our whole listenership was just our group of friends. Like, that would be outstanding to me. If you want to tell your friends about it, that would be great too.
We won't be mad. Not going to be mad at all.
Yeah, so thanks for listening, and we hope that you'll listen to us some more.
Maybe I'll find some other dead animal.
Meeting adjourned.